Save big during Labor Day at Lowe's. Get up to 40% off select major appliances. Plus, buy more to get up to an additional 20% off. Shop even more savings with 3 Stay Green 1 cubic foot vegetable and flower garden soil bags for $10. This Labor Day, take care of your home for less at Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Soil offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Truck drivers, what's a creepy story you've got from the middle of nowhere? Story 1. I was driving through the back roads of Arkansas around 3 a.m. when I hit a dense fog bank. It was so thick that I knew I should pull off the road, but sometimes stopping can be just as dangerous. I slowed to about 20 miles per hour and turned on my hazards. There were no other cars coming from either direction. After about 15 minutes, I started seeing humanoid shadows illuminated by my headlights, darting along the sides of the road and across it. It made the hairs on the back of my neck stand up. I saw maybe 5 or 6 of them. I never got a good look, just dark shapes, but they were definitely human-shaped. Needless to say, I was freaked out and wanted to get away. I sped up a bit, and after another 5 minutes, the fog ended as suddenly as it had appeared. I hit my allotted 65 miles per hour and didn't stop until the sun came up. Before we continue, do us a quick favor, smash that like button and subscribe to support our channel. Story 2. The church I grew up in supported several missionaries on the Navajo Reservation in northeastern Arizona. They ran 2 or 3 Baptist churches there, and we often went up to help build houses, schools, and other community projects. One trip, when I was about 12 or 13, I was dozing off in the front passenger seat of our 15-passenger church van. The trip leader, John, a practical, no-nonsense Vietnam vet and carpenter, was driving. I suddenly startled awake, every hair on my body standing on end, and heard John quietly praying under his breath, "Jesus, Lord, protect us. Jesus, Lord, protect us." His face was lit only by the panel lights, but I could see him staring straight ahead, his hands gripping the wheel tightly. The speedometer read 85 miles per hour, which seemed strange. John always kept the van around 65. Then I looked out my window, and in the van's running lights, I swear I saw a gaunt, naked man running on all fours alongside us on the highway. I nearly lost it. "Skinwalkers," John said quietly, "just pray." "Fight." "You better believe I prayed." This thing stayed with us for about 5 minutes, then just abruptly stopped and disappeared into the desert. Northeastern Arizona is part of the Navajo Reservation, an area well known for urban legends about skinwalkers, corrupted medicine men or witches who can transform into animals, usually wolves or coyotes. Story 3. A friend of my cousin was a long-haul trucker. He was making a delivery across the country and driving along a rarely used dirt stretch of a rural route. Since the road wasn't in the best condition, he had to go slowly. He saw another truck approaching from the opposite direction. It was the same make and model as his. Since this wasn't unusual, he didn't think much of it. But as the other truck got closer, he honked in recognition, a friendly nod to having the same kind of rig. The other truck honked back, and all seemed normal. That is, until they had to pass each other very slowly. He turned to look at the driver and saw himself, not a reflection, not a similar person, but an exact copy. Same clothes, same hat, same red beard, staring right at him. They passed each other, and that was it. He told me he'd seen some very strange things in his time on the road. But that moment was what made him decide to stop being a trucker. Story 4. I'm not a trucker per se, but I regularly travel from Texas to Idaho, Texas to Indiana, and Texas to Ithaca, New York by van. My drives usually last 18 to 20 hours. Sometimes I have wildlife in my vehicle, and sometimes I'm on my way to pick up an animal. My job involves a lot of hands-on work. Driving is secondary. I probably cover anywhere from 1,000 to 10,000 miles in a week. That being said, I've seen a lot of road. I've seen so much death accidents, mistakes, the kind of stuff you never forget. I've seen motorcyclists split into pieces as they slid on the pavement. I've seen a bridge collapse on several cars. I've seen hitchhikers, stray animals, wildlife, car chases, fresh accidents, tornadoes, you name it. I think you get the idea. There was one time, though, Unlike anything else, I was on one of my shortest drives, but it was late at night, around 1 a.m. I had to get to Austin, Texas, as quickly as possible, because a citizen had found a bird that was incapacitated but still alive in Houston. The bird had been sedated, and I had to get it to a specialist immediately, or it would surely die. Fortunately, the wildlife vet said she had to be up for surgery early anyway, and if I could make it by 4 a.m., she would take it. The highway between Austin and Houston, Highway 290, has a few areas where you're forced to stop, but there are also stretches that are completely undeveloped and very, very dark. I wasn't tired. I was on high alert. After leaving the town of Page, there is a long stretch of very dark highway. No roadside lights, no development, just a tree-lined two-lane road going in both directions. I remember the highway dipping down shortly after that dark stretch and opening up to the highway system that can take you to Bastrop or San Marcos. It wasn't unusual to be alone out here. I should also note that I am an avid bird watcher. In fact, it's part of my job to report sightings and behavior daily. Even at night while driving, I can spot a hawk or dove curtailing the power lines along the roads. At night, it wasn't unusual to see a deer or coyote pacing along the side or even in the middle of the road. This time, though, as my car dipped down the highway and the bridge to Bastrop came into sight, something enormous and white appeared. I braked hard. My car jolted to a stop as the sheer, vast white mass moved over me with incredible speed. I could hear it whoosh through the air. I don't know what came over me. I opened my window quickly, and the bird in the kennel behind me started making a horrible noise. I forgot to look outside and instinctively glanced behind me. And there, inside the van, was the white mass with a huge beaked face and dark red eyes. I was in full panic. I couldn't move a muscle or make a sound. I was absolutely horrified by what I saw. All the while, the little bird kept letting out a horrible scream despite being sedated. It was like a knife to my nerves, cutting all functionality from my body. The ghost-like white creature appeared to wave its hand, and I felt my mouth open involuntarily, letting out a raspy scream. The white creature bolted right at my face. I literally peed a little in my jeans, and my bottom clenched harder than a bank vault door. The creature moved past me and out through the front windshield. It turned back to look at my wide-eyed, terrified face, and then took off into the sky. This is the first time I've ever said anything about this. I still get shaken when I think about those dark eyes and the swiftness with which it appeared in my sight. I've never seen anything like it again. It's been 6 years now, and to this day, it is the only paranormal interaction I can truly say I've experienced. Story 5. I was driving my flatbed from St. Helena, California, to Wiley, Texas. This happened somewhere near the Texahoma border. I picked up a hitchhiker. He was standing by the side of the road, his thumb trembling maybe from the cold, I thought. Soon I would learn that it wasn't cold causing it, it was fear. The trembling of a man who looked as though he had seen a ghost. "Where to?" I asked. "A man, please. I know this is weird. Just take me to a bar. I need a drink. I'll buy you a drink or a hot sandwich." I thought it was odd. I've picked up many hitchhikers in my day, but I had never had one make such a request. I was about to say, "Get lost, buddy. Whatever you're selling, I'm not buying." But when I looked into the man's eyes, I saw pure terror. Something compelled me to open the passenger door, and he got in. At the bar, the hitchhiker began his tale. Earlier that night, during torrential rain, he had been seeking a ride. He sat by the road with his thumb out, waiting for hours. A few cars passed, but none slowed. Frustrated, he was about to lower his thumb and find shelter for the night. Then he saw headlights, a car approaching very slowly. The hitchhiker eagerly approached, waiting for it to stop. Oddly, the slow-moving car continued drifting forward. Maybe the pace was slowing, or maybe the car had always been moving at this unnerving speed, but it never came to a complete stop. The headlights pierced the rain as the hitchhiker stood there, confused. "Will this car stop? Perhaps I should get in." I've never seen a car drive so slowly like this, he thought. Finally, he decided to just jump in. He stumbled through the rain, opened the passenger door, and took a seat. To his horror, there was no one in the driver's seat. There was no one in the back seat either. The car was bare, yet it kept moving forward. The headlights remained on, now directly in front of him as he looked out the windshield, creeping steadily through the rain. The hitchhiker quickly exited the ghostly car and ran for miles. He rested, ran some more, rested again, and ran yet more. Finally, after catching his breath, he stuck out his thumb and stood by the road. This time, he saw headlights approaching, but the vehicle was driving at a normal pace. It wasn't a car at all.
Your kids could get free or low-cost health coverage from Medicaid or CHIP. Even if you've applied before, they may be eligible now. Kids up to age 19 are covered for checkups, vaccines, dentist visits, hospital care, and more. And if they already have Medicaid or CHIP, remember to renew every year. Visit insurekidsnow.gov or call 877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
It was a flatbed truck. That's where the hitchhiker and I met. The bartender brought us our beers, and the service at this bar was terrible. Then two men, drenched from the rain, came running into the bar. They pointed at the hitchhiker. "Hey, there's the idiot that tried jumping into our car while we were pushing it through the rain." Story 6. This isn't my story, but an old friend of mine's. In the 90s, John was an IT guy in parts of eastern Iowa and far west Illinois. He was used to driving from one account to another, often late at night or early in the morning. He'd pick a halfway point to stop at a rest area and grab one of those awful paper cup coffees from the machines. One early morning, around 4:30 a.m., he was in Iowa and stopped at a wide spot in the road rest area. He parked, and there weren't any other people there, just a couple of semis that looked like they had been there for quite a while. He went into the men's room, which was deserted. After using the bathroom, he went to the sink to wash his hands. Out of the corner of his eye, he caught movement. A very tall, very thin man standing right in the middle of the entrance, about 15 feet away. He was dressed all in black, and John said the man's eyes were pitch black. The man was giggling to himself, and John swore he was at least 8 feet tall. He glanced down to grab a paper towel from the machine, and when he looked up, the man was so close he could hear him breathing a loud, bubbly sound. There was no way he could have crossed 15 feet in 1 second. As he told it, the man or thing slowly smiled at him, and it wasn't a smile. It was a baring of serrated, sharp teeth. The creature started chuckling like it was looking at a three-piece KFC meal. My friend screamed, "Jesus, help me!" and ran for his car. He said the thing looked startled, as if it wasn't supposed to be able to move, almost like he should have been frozen, like staring at a snake. He reached his car, which wasn't locked, slammed the locks down, started the engine, and floored it to get out of there. As he was leaving, he looked in the rearview mirror, and the thing was running after the car. He always swore that somehow this thing followed him home. Not long after, he was paralyzed in an accident, and I went to care for him for a little while. I brought my 4-year-old son with me, and in his typical baby way, he would chatter away while the two of us were talking. One day, I asked him who he was talking to. My son said, "He says his name is Biter. He has long teeth and he lives with Mr. John." I grabbed my son and ran out of there. I never went back to that house. Story 7. About my third year into my career, I was taking a load of paper from Alabama to Ohio. The paper mill I loaded at was in the middle of nowhere, probably 65 miles from the nearest interstate. I was a little low on my legal driving hours, so I figured I would spend the night at the shipper. Well, the shipper didn't allow overnight parking. Great, so I got loaded and rolled out. I set my GPS for the nearest truck stop, about 70 miles away. There was one closer, but according to Google reviews, it didn't have showers. I was rolling along a winding country road, taking my time because it was dark. I flipped my high beams on when I reached a straight section of the road, and I saw a figure walking. I remember thinking how brave they must be. As I got closer, I realized the figure was a man in an all-white suit. My lights revealed more of him. He had a bag slung over his shoulder, not huge, but big enough to notice. As I started to ease the truck over to the left side of the road to pass him, he turned and stuck his thumb out as if to hitch a ride. Normally, that wouldn't bother me, but when he turned toward the truck, the place where his face should have been was completely red and blank. No eyes, no nose, no mouth, just blank red and terrifying. I must have hit my door lock button about 30 times. I made it to the truck stop and waited until daylight to take my shower. I don't know what I saw that night, but whatever it was, it could not ride with me. Story 8. So, this story always creeps me out. My dad's friends weren't exactly long-haul truckers. They were thieves. Back in the 70s or 80s, they had just robbed a safe somewhere in the UK. They were using a van to carry it and decided to stop around 3 in the morning for a rest and a cigarette. As they sat on a quiet main road, they heard the clip-clop of a woman's high heels. It felt strange. What would a woman be doing out here at this hour alone? They glanced in the wing mirror, and sure enough, they saw what appeared to be a woman walking toward the van. They looked at each other, puzzled, and waited for her to approach the window, which was already rolled down. By this point, my dad's friend would get deeply uncomfortable, even telling the story. As she drew closer, they realized it wasn't a woman at all. They swore it was the devil, a being with a razor-sharp smile stretching from ear to ear and the most evil look in its eyes. My dad's friend yelled to the one driving, "Friggin' drive!" and they sped off without looking back. In hindsight, they weren't sure if they had heard heels or hooves. My dad's friends weren't the type to make up stories, and this was one of the only experiences they ever claimed as real. Story 9. I'm a truck driver in the UK. One night, I was driving through rural Scotland on a country lane when I suddenly started to see flashing lights coming through the trees. All different colors lit up the woods, casting strange, shifting shadows across the road. I'm not a believer in aliens or anything, but my first thought was UFOs. Safe to say, I put my foot down and got out of there as fast as I could. The next day, I found out it had just been a rave happening in a nearby field, but at the time, it scared the life out of me. Story 10. Two friends and I were driving from Laredo, Texas to Baton Rouge, Louisiana, one night in my Ford van. It was around 2 a.m., there's a particularly long and dark stretch of highway just outside Laredo. No buildings, towns, or lights for about 50 miles. I was in the right lane approaching a truck and moved into the left passing lane to overtake it. As I slowly drew alongside the long truck, something in my peripheral vision caught my attention. The truck suddenly swerved toward the right shoulder, avoiding something or someone on the road. I looked and saw a person dressed entirely in white. With a white face, their arms were folded across their chest, and their eyes were closed as they walked across the highway. I swerved to the left and barely missed this ghostly figure with my passenger side mirror. I can still remember the eyes. They were closed. That's how close we came to hitting them. Story 11. My dad was a trucker for a few years in the 80s before becoming a firefighter. There is a very small town in Oklahoma called Fairfax that he frequently traveled to, carrying oil field supplies. The highway to the town is a paved two-lane road that cuts through the open wheat fields of Pawnee and Osage counties. Very quiet at night. He was traveling around midnight one night, heading north on Highway 18 en route to Fairfax, when he said he rounded a curve and his headlights illuminated a man in a wheelchair, pushing himself down the middle of the road. Dad said it was extremely foggy, and had he been distracted at all, he likely never would have seen the man and could have run over him. He swerved into the opposite lane, narrowly missing him. Once he felt he had passed the man, he pulled over to offer help, but the man had vanished. Dad continued on to Fairfax and joined another trucker at a stop. The trucker had been a few miles ahead of him on the highway and looked wide-eyed and shaken. Dad asked if he had seen the same thing, and the trucker said, "I thought I had seen a ghost." They contacted a deputy in the area who told them it was a common sighting for truckers. He had no explanation for who the man was or why he would be traveling down the highway at night. He said he would always check but never located the man. Story 12. Former driver here, you'd see all kinds of crazy stuff at night on the road. I've always been a night owl, so I can chalk it up to exhaustion, but I'm sure none of it was ever quite what it seemed. A giant, shaggy black dog running along and eventually across the road. A man with yellow eyes and a long black duster standing in the road and smiling. More than one light in the sky, moving and changing directions at speeds that make my head spin just thinking about it. Phantom deer, probably real deer, but it sure didn't seem like it at the time. Injured people walking on the side of the road. I saw a few, only one ever turned out to be real. Glad I kept stopping to check. Lights in the trees like fairies. And my personal favorite, an enormous black creature with extremely long appendages and a hunched torso that tried to swipe at vehicles. I've read a lot about most of these phenomena and understand their explanations, but darned if they didn't seem completely real and terrifying when I witnessed them. Some of them were so unnerving that stopping felt safer than risking it. I don't believe in ghosts or monsters, but a few of those encounters definitely gave me pause. Story 13. I come from a trucking family. Father, brother, aunts, uncles, cousins. I've heard plenty of stories, but one from my brother stands out the most. He said he was driving late one night years ago in the 90s and was the only one on the road somewhere just outside Atlanta, Georgia. Up ahead, he saw a man dressed entirely in black, wearing a black trench coat, step out of the woods holding a baseball bat. The man just stood in the middle of the lane. My brother switched lanes, but the man moved into his lane again, still holding the bat and standing perfectly still. So my brother stayed in that lane. And just as he got close, though not too close, he swerved and went around him. When he looked in his mirror, the man was still standing there, watching him drive away, before finally turning and walking back into the woods. Story 14. This is my father's story. He wasn't a trucker, but rather an 18-year-old gas station attendant in the late 70s, and without a certain long-haul trucker, I probably wouldn't be here. The gas station was open 24 hours, and my dad was the only one working the night shift from 11 to 7. One night, a man came in who immediately gave him the creeps. He seemed suspicious. He was wearing a tight jacket and pants, and you could tell he had something hidden under the jacket. Since it was summer and warm, there was no reason for him to be wearing a jacket at all. Later, it was confirmed that he was on drugs. Many truck drivers used this station because it was the only one open 24 hours along a long stretch of highway. The station also had a large lot where truckers could park, rest, or sleep. On this night, it was just my dad, the sketchy guy, and one trucker. He kind of knew someone who came in often enough to be conversational. My dad asked him to stay in the station and hang out until the sketchy guy left. After browsing the stocked shelves for several minutes while sneaking glances at my dad behind the counter, the sketchy guy finally looked fed up, got into his blue car, and sped off. The trucker stayed with my dad a little longer, until another couple of men came in to use the booths and eat a sandwich. I should point out, this was middle-of-nowhere rural southeast United States in the 1970s. CB and landlines were it. The station only had a landline, and my dad didn't have any protection or weapon of any kind. Hours passed, and my dad had just shaken off the paranoia when a truck driver, this time in a car, came flying into the lot, jumped out, and sprinted inside, shouting that he needed a phone. He didn't have a CB, and he hadn't seen a phone at the other station. Unfamiliar with the area, my dad's station was the first one he found. He called 911 to report that he had walked into a gas station 40 miles back, the next closest station, only to find the attendant shot and dead. No one else was around. The only other detail he had was that a blue car had sped out of the lot just as he pulled in. Eventually, they apprehended the man in the blue car. My dad confirmed it was the same sketchy guy from earlier that night, and he was charged with murder and armed robbery. To the long-haul trucker who stayed with my dad that night. Thank you, and I hope you're still out there keeping it real. It's also worth noting that the man in the blue car was already a bad apple. He was either wanted or on probation at the time. He was already in the system. Story 15. Maybe a bit off the mark, but it still scared the crap out of me. I was headed west on I-76 in Denver, cruising along at about 70 miles per hour. Out of nowhere, I saw a massive, almost solid cloud of what looked like dirt coming straight at me.
I'd say it was at least 20 feet wide and 10 feet tall.
I scanned ahead but couldn't see any vehicle it could have come from. With nowhere to go, I slowed down and took the hit, hoping there wasn't anything in it big enough to break through my windshield or wreck my truck. It was loud as hell when I smashed through it. The instant it hit, I knew it wasn't dirt. I immediately hit the washers because I couldn't see a thing. My windshield was coated in what looked like guts. Turns out it was bees, huge freaking bees that sounded like rocks when they hit. I can even imagine what that swarm would do to anyone walking. They'd absolutely annihilate anything in their path. Story 16. I was driving near Las Vegas around 3 a.m. I had been following a few black SUVs along the highway for about an hour. They all had Nevada plates with single-digit numbers in order. 1, 2, 3. Suddenly, they all pulled off the highway onto a dirt path. There was no mile marker or cactus to indicate a path, just dirt. Once they were off the road, they turned their lights off. I didn't stick around. It was creepy. Story 17. A good friend of mine told me this story years ago. He's the stereotypical old, tough trucker. I've seen some strange things with him while driving through South Texas along the border. He never bats an eye, but while telling me this story, he had goosebumps and a genuinely concerned expression, which, coming from him, is about the equivalent of a trembling lip, and, well, you get the idea. I'll tell this story in the first person, just as he told it to me. Years ago, in the late 90s, I was on my way from my house in Central Texas to Laredo to pick up a load. It was early morning, around 4 or 5 a.m. I had just come off a string of days at home, so I knew I wasn't tired. I was on one of those two-lane winding roads in the absolute middle of nowhere when I saw something at the edge of my high beams. At first, I thought it was roadkill, as is usually the case. As I got closer, I realized it was roadkill, but there was also someone crouching over the deer. I remember thinking, either this guy is taking the antlers as a trophy, or he's seriously messed up. As I got even closer, I saw that he was eating the deer. Then, mid-motion, he looked up at me. Not at my truck, but at me. He or it stood up, and that's when I saw it was massive, brown, and covered in hair. I remember thinking, oh crap, this thing was standing on the tiny shoulder, staring right at me. By this point, maybe 3 seconds had passed, and I was about to reach the part of the road where it stood. I didn't even think about stopping. In fact, I was pressing down on the accelerator to get the hell out of there. As I passed, it was still looking at me. Not at the truck, at me through the driver's side windshield. It clearly understood that there was a person inside and knew exactly where I was sitting. I could still see its head above the hood of my old needle-nose Pete, an old truck with a straight, tall hood, notorious for being hard to see over. This thing was enormous. I remember seeing what looked like human intelligence in its eyes. It scared the absolute crap out of me. Story 18. Okay, here's a spook for you, and to this day I still have no idea what the hell happened. I was in the VA/MD area with a lot of work sites scattered from downtown Baltimore to Virginia Beach and everywhere in between. Friday wrapped up, and I hit the road for some social plans I had for the weekend. Spent the weekend with friends out in various parts of Virginia. Got dragged off to other places even further out, the usual weekend fun. It was late Sunday night when I had to leave, or I wouldn't get home in time to start my thankfully late afternoon Monday. I was fully rested, hadn't been drinking, and wasn't into drugs. On the highway, around 3 a.m. in the middle of nowhere between Roanoke and D.C., there was absolutely nobody around. I was cruising along in the left lane since no one else was on the road. No headlights for the past hour, no taillights either, no street lamps. It was dark, mildly damp and foggy. Music up, feeling good, all seemed fine. Then I happened to glance to the left, and there was a dog barking at me. A German Shepherd, sitting in a car's passenger seat, bathed in the faint blue glow of the instruments inside, with its face pressed to the window, barking its head off. I got a good hard look at it, too, because at first my brain wasn't even registering. Cop car, dummy. I was doing over 90 in a 75 when the realization hit me. Oh, crap. The dog. The instruments. The white Crown Vic with its light bar. It all clicked in my brain after a second hard look. I slammed on the brakes, slowing hard but safe, planning to pull over.
I even flicked on my blinker to start moving over to the right, but then I realized there was no shoulder on the left side of the road. I looked back to the left, still no shoulder, no room for another car, and the cop was just gone, no trace. I slammed my brakes in the middle of the highway, flipped on all my lights, and even scanned around with a handheld spotlight. Nothing. No taillights, no headlights, no engine sounds. There were no other tire marks in the damp pavement except mine. I could see a long distance both ways. Nothing. My vehicle had excellent visibility and plenty of extra lighting, an off-road SUV with all the trimmings. There was no possible way anyone could have pulled a sneaky move, let alone driven that fast on wet, sloped grass and rocks on my left side. So, yep, there you have it. Ghost Cop and his dog didn't like me speeding, apparently. Story 19. My dad has several stories from hauling logs in Idaho and driving trucks through Utah and Nevada. My favorite is from when he was just in his pickup driving through Utah. He said there was a light keeping pace with him out in the desert on a moonless night. It stayed alongside him for about a minute before disappearing, and his truck cut out at the same time. He stopped, restarted it, and pulled off at the next diner. The folks inside told him it was a common occurrence. The creepiest one happened when he was hauling logs in Idaho, coming down near the Coeur d'Alene area on a snowy winter night. He was putting on chains before heading down a steep grade, and he said every hair on his body stood up. It felt like something was watching him. Halfway down the switchbacks, he saw a large figure standing on a 20-foot embankment. As he got closer, it jumped down. The shoulders were as tall as the cab. In a single bound, it leaped across to the other side of the embankment. At the time, he thought it might be a Sasquatch. Now he says it was probably a demon trying to make him crash. He didn't stop to remove the chains until he was well away from the mountain. Story 20. My dad told me and my brothers this story when we were growing up, and it's always stuck with me, especially on long drives when I'm feeling a bit sleepy. The first time I remember hearing it, I had asked him if angels were real. I was probably 7 or 8. He drove trucks decades ago before I was born, and before labor laws about limits and brakes were standard, I assume it's different now. He would regularly take calls that extended his shifts, sometimes driving 24, 36 hours or more without a proper break, aside from a quick bathroom stop or grabbing fast food. My dad has a pretty mathematical brain. He's the type to make up logic puzzles out of something totally mundane, just for fun. Whenever we were driving around town, he'd ask things like, how long would it take us to get from home to the store if we were going 30 miles per hour, but had to stop for 5 minutes because a family of kittens is crossing the road? He'd come up with similar equations for himself while driving solo, using the odometer, mileage markers, and the time to test his speed and refine his calculations. One night, after already driving a particularly long day, he noticed his eyes getting droopier. Rolling down the window and blasting music wasn't helping much. It was a rainy night on a windy mountain road with no shoulder to pull over safely, so he started doing those logic games out loud to stay alert. He said something like, I just passed mile marker 146, so what time will it be when I reach 200 if I'm going 55 miles per hour? Then he closed his eyes, took a deep breath, and felt his head nod and jerk, a nod jerk that woke him with a gasp. He opened his eyes to see he was driving straight toward mile marker 158, which would have sent his truck tumbling down a random mountain ravine. He corrected the course safely, but it had been a matter of seconds between that reality and certain death. He insists to this day that he slept through 12 miles of windy mountain road, going over 60 miles per hour, only to wake up at the very last moment between life and death. The story usually ends with him tearing up and saying, I don't know if there are angels, but I know there's something bigger going on in this universe than our human brains can understand. If I hadn't woken up right when I did, you kids wouldn't be here today. And that's something that feels pretty close to spiritual. Story 21. My grandfather was in the Air Force, and one night he was driving back to his base, I think, when he saw a woman standing on the side of the road in a long white dress around 2 a.m. He circled back to see if she needed help, but she was nowhere to be found. He searched for about an hour before giving up and deciding to move on. As he continued driving, he had a strong, inexplicable feeling that he needed to switch lanes. he had no idea why he was alone on the road in the middle of the night. Moments later, just ahead, he saw a broken-down truck with no hazard lights. If he hadn't switched lanes, he would have hit it and probably been killed. To this day, he's convinced the woman was trying to warn him like an omen or some kind of supernatural warning. Story 22. This actually happened the other day on a random country road in Tennessee. It was pitch black, and the only things around were fields, hills, and me. No houses in sight. I was getting really tired, having flown from Washington to Atlanta the day before. I was driving from Atlanta to northern Indiana when out of nowhere I saw a dog in the grass. Normally that would be fine, but its eyes weren't reflecting my headlights, which made me feel immediately unsettled. Next thing I knew, it charged at the tire of my trailer, snarling and barking. Thank God I didn't hit it. When I looked back, it was gone. As bad as it sounds, even if I had hit it, I probably wouldn't have stopped. I was in the middle of nowhere with no cell service. I've heard stories of people setting up ways to get drivers to stop in the middle of nowhere to rob or hurt them. It was midnight, and I wasn't taking any chances. Story 23. My grandfather told me a story about driving west to east along an empty stretch of road in southern South Dakota. He stopped at a stop sign at an intersection, with nothing in sight, no buildings, no other vehicles. Then a bright light hit him. Looking up, he saw a cluster of blinking lights. Next thing he knew, he was at the counter of a diner about an hour down the road. 6 hours had passed, and he had no idea what had happened. He asked the person behind the counter, and the man told him he had just walked in about 10 minutes ago and had been quietly drinking his coffee. When my grandfather explained what had happened, the man simply said, "Yep, that happens around here sometimes." Nothing strange ever happened to him again, but he avoided that area for the rest of his life. He didn't believe in aliens and never claimed to know what happened, though I suspect he thought he'd been abducted. He just never admitted it. He had told me never to share the story with anyone, but he's been gone for years, and most of the people who knew him are gone too, so I figured it was okay. Story 24. My dad has told me this story a couple of times, and each time it kind of weirds me out. He wasn't a trucker, but when he was in the military, one night he and a buddy went out to get food. About halfway down a dark road, they noticed a woman walking, a woman in a red dress with black hair. My dad and his buddy found it odd because it didn't seem safe, and it wasn't even that warm. Deep down, my dad knew stopping would be a bad idea, so they drove by slowly to see if she needed help. As they passed, both of them swore she had no face, just a black void, as if she'd been in a wreck and her face had been removed. It freaked them out so badly that my dad floored it. When they finally stopped to eat, they both agreed they had seen the same thing. Later, they found out a woman had been killed in an accident earlier that year. While talking about it at the diner, a stranger mentioned that sightings of the woman were actually common. I am not one to believe in the paranormal, but the story is still kind of weird. Edit. I want to reiterate that I never said I believe in the paranormal. I never said, this story is true and has no scientific explanation. I'm just sharing a story, and whether it resonates with you depends on who you are and what you value. Regardless of how cliche or silly it might sound, it's important to remember that we're all human. When we see or hear something we don't understand, our minds play tricks on us. We become more paranoid and compelled to question what we just experienced. If you're out in the woods, alone, and it's dark, hearing an unfamiliar noise, your instincts kick in. You question your safety and your surroundings because humans want answers and reassurance that they're okay. That's just part of being human. I don't need a scientific explanation because I'm aware the brain does things we don't fully understand. What I do know is that when we can't find an explanation, it drives us nuts and scares us. The black void my dad saw was probably just poor lighting or the heat of the moment, his brain filling in missing details. Maybe the woman had her hair in front of her face, obscuring her features. There are all sorts of explanations that make far more sense. But in the same circumstance, most of us would probably react the same way, questioning what we saw and doubting our own sanity. Story 25. I was in rural Maine looking for a lumber mill just before sunset. It took hours to get there,
because Maine is riddled with narrow, winding roads that try to get as close as possible to every building in every village, from US 1 to the Canadian border. I pulled in just as the last guy was leaving. I asked him where to park, said I'd see him in the morning, and settled my truck in a fairly large gravel lot, surrounded on all sides by thick forest. There were no artificial lights besides my truck and my flashlight. After parking, I set up a lawn chair, sat back, and enjoyed the warm night air while staring at the breathtaking night sky. It was a rare treat, basically no light pollution. Then, like a switch flipped, what sounded like 50 coyotes, about 60 feet away, started howling like mad. At that point, I bolted back into the truck and didn't open the door again until sunrise. The town of West Salem, Wisconsin, has always given me the shivers. It feels both empty and full of people at the same time. Nothing concrete, just a sense that something isn't quite right in that town. Story 26. One of my dad's stories takes place while he was driving through Pacheco Pass in California. He had an empty trailer, and the wind was really strong, causing it to sway back and forth. He saw a girl walking and tried to merge lanes to avoid her, when suddenly he heard a loud bang. He thought he'd just hit someone with the side of his trailer. When he finally stopped and searched everywhere, there was nothing, no sign of anyone, and not even a dent in the trailer. The second story also happened in Pacheco Pass. He saw a woman wandering on the side of the road and stopped to let her into the truck. She was dripping wet. It wasn't raining, but there's a lake next to the freeway, so he assumed she'd been swimming late at night. She stayed silent while he drove. After a little while, he turned to speak to her, and there was no one there. The seat was completely dry. I once told him to share the story at dinner with one of his trucker buddies. When he started, his friend interrupted, "Wait, that happened to me too," and told the same story. Story 27. This isn't something we saw, it's something we experienced. My dad was a trucker, and in the summers I would tag along with him. One evening, we were driving from Houston to Jacksonville, and somehow got turned around on the back roads of Louisiana. The last major town I remembered was Troy, around 1 a.m., By almost 3 a.m., we had no idea where we were. We eventually came across a tiny town. It had one broken stoplight, a diner, an abandoned factory, and a few empty shopping centers. From one end to the other, it was maybe 4 blocks. We were both hungry, and not wanting to wait for a truck stop, we pulled in behind the diner. Looking back, the fact that a small town diner was open at 3 a.m. should have been a warning that something was off. We went inside, and the diner was surprisingly nice, old school, reminiscent of the 1960s. There was a single waitress on duty and a cop eating in a booth. We naturally got to chatting with them. I remember that meal so clearly because it was the first time I had grits. They were loaded with cheese and bacon. The cop gave us directions back to the highway and even bought me a chocolate milk for the road. I can still picture the tables, composite wood covered in polka dot contact paper. Eventually, we made it back to civilization. Later that morning, at a stop, my dad asked about the town, cue a lot of confused looks from local truckers. He was sure he had the name right, but no one had ever heard of it. A few months later, my dad tried to drive me back through Louisiana to find the town again. We never could. We're still not entirely sure what happened, if we drove through a ghost town no one remembered, or if it was something stranger, but I remember that night clearly. Edit. I found the name. It's Gramercy. I had spelled it wrong at first. A search doesn't show any diners nearby, but it's possible it's closed now. The abandoned factory was actually a sugar mill. My dad has a terrible memory, so it's likely he mispronounced the name to the other truckers, which is why no one knew what he was talking about. Mystery solved. Story 28. Ex-long-haul trucker here. I wasn't on the road for very long, so I don't have any Route 66 ghost stories, but one night in particular has stuck with me. I was driving east through Montana, and my company had miscalculated my mileage, so I requested an emergency fuel stop. I got approval for the nearest gas station, but it wasn't exactly close. I turned off the main highway and headed toward the stop. It was pitch black. No moon, no city lights, and I hadn't seen headlights for about an hour. As I cruised down the highway, I saw something in the middle of the road at the far edge of my headlights. I naturally slowed down as I approached it.
When I got close enough to pass, I caught one good glance and slammed on my brakes right in the middle of the highway. All I could think was, what the hell did I just see? I backed up slowly, keeping an eye on its red silhouette in my brake lights. I put on my jacket, grabbed my flashlight, and cautiously hopped out. I walked to the back of my trailer and shone my light on it, and there was something large and twisted lay in the middle of the road. I froze, jaw-dropping. I didn't know what I was looking at. I just stood there, in the middle of the highway, in the cold, stagnant air. The only sound was the hum of my truck 50 feet back. There was no fur, no clothing, just a fully intact bones attached by ligaments. I debated calling the police. The rib cage was big enough to be someone my size, but my phone had zero service, and the nearest town was 50 miles away. Handful of coyotes were staring at me. They started trotting through the fence in my direction. I figured this was the part where I got back in the truck before things got worse, so I did, and continued on my way. To this day, I still don't know if it was human or animal, or exactly what had happened. I convinced myself it was probably a deer hit by another truck at highway speeds, something that could do significant damage. Paranormal? Not at all. Creepy? Absolutely. Story 29. Way back in the day, I was on a trip to Marquette, Michigan, driving a one-ton truck, hauling a 20-foot enclosed trailer. It was about 2 or 3 in the afternoon. My route had a few pickups from the lower half of the state that needed to go north. As I was heading toward Grayling, I noticed the light outside was strangely off. It gave me one of those gut feelings that tells you something isn't right. I pulled off at the next service station to investigate further. I noticed that the sky, which had been overcast all day, had an almost perfectly round giant hole or tunnel in it. If you've ever seen fall streak holes or punch clouds, it's similar to that. The hole looked like it stretched upward for at least 15,000 feet, opening to clear blue skies above. The odd light I had noticed came from a mix of green and orange hues framed by the dark storm clouds that formed the outer ring of the hole. It looked like other weather was moving in, but the forecast had only called for regular rain earlier. I don't ignore gut feelings, so I quickly checked into a dive motel and parked my truck against the building to shield it from the wind. About 15 minutes later, a tornado and some other chaotic weather blew through just a bit north of my location. Later, I found out from CB traffic that several trucks had been blown off the road. I did some quick figuring and realized I would likely have been directly in its path if I hadn't stopped. The next day, as I made my way north, it was surreal seeing the downed trees and damage from where the storm had passed. Story 30. Not sure if I've shared this before, but this is my dad's story. To give some context, he's ex-British Army practical, not scared of much. He became a lorry driver around 1975, not long after he started. This happened around 5 in the morning on a summer's day. It was a bit misty, like early mornings can be, but bright enough to see clearly. He was heading out of London on the A3, driving his lorry, when up ahead he saw a young woman, probably in her early 20s, standing by the side of the road in a long blue dress. This must have been before the A3 was fully dualed and before all the barriers were put up. Dad saw her and assumed she was waiting for a ride to work. Just as he was about to drive past, she suddenly jumped in front of his lorry. He slammed on the brakes immediately, convinced he had hit her, but he didn't feel a bang. Where else could she have gone? A couple of cars stopped to see what was happening. Dad shakily explained the situation, and the drivers kindly offered to stay while he checked under the lorry. He looked, and she was gone. The other drivers looked too, but there was nothing. No body, no blood, no sign that anyone had been there. Everyone freaked out a bit and agreed that leaving as quickly as possible was the best idea. Dad could never explain it. He knew she had been there, and he knew he hit her, or at least he should have. He spent the rest of his driving career avoiding that stretch of the A3. Story 31. I used to drive all over the states for fun during the summers. Teens, 20s, 30s, and man, I have seen some odd things. I remember driving through the Northwest California, Colorado, Oregon, and so on, right after Mount St. Helens erupted.
That was incredible. Miles and miles of dust, ash, and mudslides. The devastation and desolation left behind were utterly unbelievable at times. One time, I drove from Raleigh to San Antonio in one shot. I had become convinced I was being followed by a trucker with ill intent, and by the time he finally fell back, I was too close to San Antonio to quit. That was a long 27-hour drive. Once, while driving to Connecticut, somewhere in Georgia, I could have sworn I saw almost 100 UFOs land alongside the highway around 3 a.m. It must have been some sort of optical illusion, but damn, it freaked me out. The scariest was driving to Houston one night when it got so foggy you could not see 20 feet ahead and people were still speeding past me. In one particular spot, I had 4 or 5 cars fly by me, and 1 minute later, I almost rear-ended someone's overturned trailer that they apparently dragged along for quite a while, throwing all types of household crap all over the road. That was only weird because, except for the cars that went by, I didn't see a soul out there before or after, and at 60 miles per hour, that stuff can come up on you fast when you can barely see on the highway. I about pissed myself. Almost forgot. One time, driving through Nevada in the middle of the night, I started to see black spots all over the road that kept getting denser and denser over about 20 to 30 minutes around midnight. It sounded like I was running over thousands of pine cones. I was a little weirded out because I swear they were moving, but I wasn't sure at the time. I stopped at the next gas station and found out there was some kind of tarantula migration going on, something I had never heard of before or since. I must have driven over 1,000 easy. I had never seen so many spiders in my life, on or off the road. Story 32. I used to deliver vehicles that people purchased online or from other states. They would pay for my bus ticket to get there, cover all the fuel costs, and even plan out a predetermined route for me to follow. Every time I stopped for fuel, I had to call in and report my location and how much I spent. I even had to keep track of the miles from when I picked up the vehicle to the drop-off point. I jumped on a bus in Texas and went to Corona, New Mexico to pick up a Nissan Altima, which I was driving up to Kansas City, Kansas, just outside Mineola, Kansas, right off Highway 54. It was about 2 a.m. I was driving along with the windows down, enjoying the cool night, radio off, just cruising. Suddenly, I saw a deer jump into the road, and I swerved to miss it, ending up in the ditch. When I got out to check the car and tires, I heard a blood-curdling scream that pierced the silence of the night. It sounded like a woman screaming. I looked around but didn't see any deer, people, or movement as far as I could see with my flashlight. I got back in the car and thought, screw this, and drove off. When I reached the nearest gas station, I called the person and told them what happened, assuring them the car was fine, no scratches, flats, or damage. I ended up delivering the car safely, but I never went back down that highway again. Story 33. I'm not a trucker, but I am a delivery driver. I've seen plenty of weird stuff on the road, mostly people, but the weirdest encounter I had happened off duty. It was on my way back from a show in Virginia to Buffalo, New York. I had 4 guys with me and a truck full of speaker equipment. I was driving through Pennsylvania on the crazy 219-322-80 route, probably near Dubois or Clearfield. If you don't know the route, it's a mix of highways and local country roads, roads where you're driving 65 miles per hour, but still in the middle of nowhere. It was late, maybe midnight or 1 a.m., and only another guy in the back seat and I were awake. I was driving with houses on my right and woods on my left, deep in a heavily wooded area. There were no street lights, so it was pitch black except for my headlights. Then I saw it. An enormous figure swooped over the car, about 10 feet up. In the headlights, I caught enough to see that it looked like a bat, a brown, hairy body, but the wings and overall size were massive. It wasn't like a bird. It was more like a giant bat or a flying dog, if the dog were a mastiff with short hair, and the eyes were red. I saw it, and my brain registered it, but as I looked around, I couldn't see any more. It was gone fast enough. Then I heard my cousin's voice, calm, from the back seat. I saw it, too. I got a chill and kept driving. We didn't speak of it again until we got home. Later, one of my friends told me it was probably the Mothman, and I'd have to say that might be the closest explanation. I saw something that definitely wasn't a bird, and my cousin saw it, too. Now, whenever I drive through the no man's land of Pennsylvania, I keep an eye out for whatever the hell that thing was. Story 34. This place is part of the original Eisenhower Highway project and is built in a very unusual way. The rest area sits somewhat beneath the freeway instead of alongside it. There are only about 5 parking spots for trucks, but they're more like indentations into the tree line rather than proper spots. You end up parking partially on pavement and partially in brush. The truck parking is located roughly a quarter mile from the actual bathrooms. I stopped here during training. It took me almost my full 30 minutes to get parked because my trailer stuck out into the road. The only lights at 3 a.m. in the Rockies were my running lights, so I prayed they were enough to keep someone from running into the back of me. Getting out of the truck involved wading through the surrounding brush and onto the road. Once there, I was in awe. I'd never seen the Milky Way so clearly, and I'd never been so compelled to take a dump. I had no bearings and headed toward the car parking. Since Google Maps showed a building behind the tree line that bordered the lot, I couldn't see what was in the cars, but I could intermittently see them shake, letting me know I wasn't alone. Doing my best fearless horror movie white girl impersonation, I started moving toward the tree line. Before I could see the building, I heard the sound of rolling water from behind the trees. Immediately, images of my body floating down the Colorado River after Jason ambushes me flashed through my mind. Past the cars, the first light appeared beyond the trees and around a building. As I descended steps toward the light, signs were posted along the way, memorializing the construction of this rest area in the 1950s. They would have been worth reading had the roar of the Colorado not grown louder with each step, providing perfect cover for anyone who might wish to sneak up on me. Rounding the corner, I rushed into the bathroom, trying to escape the impending sense of doom. It quickly became clear that this place had not been cleaned since the 1950s. Opening the first stall revealed a Jackson Pollock on porcelain. The second stall was no better. I was forced to eyeball the sinks, trying to figure out their load-bearing capacity. At the door of the final stall, I prayed for either a clean toilet or a swift death, and thankfully got the former. Like most stories, though, there wasn't a completely happy ending. No toilet paper. After overcoming the paper shortage of I-70, I cleaned up and walked out the bathroom door. Standing there was another man. The heck? We both nearly crapped ourselves. I'm so sorry, was all he said as he scurried off. Not waiting for the other shoe to drop, I ran back to my truck. I wasn't sure if he had been there to use the bathroom or was looking for a quick rest stop encounter, but I was just relieved to have survived the creepiest thing that had ever happened to me on the road. Story 35. This actually happened last night, and it kind of freaked me out. I'm not a trucker, but I was driving home after a long night of work when I saw a cop car turn and fall in behind me on the highway. I slowed down a bit, even though I wasn't speeding, because that's my natural reaction when I see a cop. Anyway, he stayed behind me, and I was watching him in my rearview mirror. Then, when I looked back at the road ahead, the same cop car had just appeared in front of me. I looked back again, there was no other car behind me. His license plate said K-9, so I knew it was a cop. There was no passing lane, and he had been a ways behind me, so there was no way he could have passed that quickly. When he was in front of me, he turned on his blinker to make a left turn. I went into the bypass lane and glanced at him through the window, and I kid you not, he didn't have a face. Somehow we made eye contact, but it was just a black silhouette, nothing else. This wasn't just a man of color, it was something else. I've seen videos about Men in Black and other paranormal encounters, and this was my teleportation/paranormal alien experience. Thank you for watching. If you enjoyed this video, be sure to give it a thumbs up, subscribe, and hit the bell icon so you never miss an update.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.